Val Palmieri with WPPJ talking to Phil Demmel of Machine Head right now. Phil, how are you today?
Good. Doing good.
The last time you were in Pittsburgh was for Mayhem Fest this past summer. So how is it to be back?
We were here for Mayhem. Okay. Yeah, I'm not remembering. Mayhem was a blur. So no, actually, yeah. Our sound man is from here, so his mom brought out some sausages and stuff like that. So Pittsburgh, like I was just telling you, that I have some family roots here, so it's always kind of nostalgic to come back here and walk around the ballparks and stuff like that. So good crowd in Pittsburgh. Awesome venue here tonight, too.
Definitely. So how's the tour going so far?
Tour's going great. Yeah, great shows. People are responding well to the new record and the new song. So, yeah, it's good to be supporting the new record.
Unto the Locust is phenomenal, if I do say so. It's obvious you put your hearts into it, and how does it feel to make a record that's different than The Blackening?
That's what we set out to do, was do a record that was different from The Blackening. And you're right, we did pour our hearts and souls into this record. There was a lot of purging and a lot of emotions that we put into this. So, but that's the type of band we are. We write from a very pure source, and I'm glad you picked up on that.
For sure. What was some of the inspiration behind the album?
Well, like I said, we write from a very pure pure source, and so we take from our experiences.
Mm-hmm.
A song like Darkness Within, Rob wrote about, he was on a real depressing, dark, gloomy, bad rainy day, and he started writing about, like, this, he was in this depression, and he started writing about music and how much music means to him and us, you know, and how, you know, music is our religion. You know, I was brought up in a religious household, but I mean, music has been the soundtrack to my life and where I go for therapy or to purge certain things. And so Darkness Within, it came from, you know, something like that. It's something that we all have in common, something that we can share with the audience and our fans and our friends, that they all kind of take part in too. So
I definitely agree. True for every metal fan, and I saw that part of your YouTube series too. In the intro, that was really cool that you guys mentioned that specifically.
Right on. Yeah. Glad you picked up on that.
Right. What was it like working with strings on the record?
It was cool. I mean, Rob was the catalyst behind that, and he had the vision for everything that was going on. I was there when they were practicing and when they recorded, so it was awesome to hear some of our music brought together in that kind of composition and that arrangement. Some of the guitar lines that I wrote and having it heard this way is just really weird to me. But weird in a good way, just strange and
different.
Uncommon, yeah. So, I think that we recorded a lot with them, but we used it pretty sparingly because it just didn't fit into certain spots, and we didn't want it to come out to be contrived. We wanted it to be more organic and, like I said, genuine. You know, that's how we want to come across. So.
Well, my favorite tracks on the album are I Am Hell and Locust, because it truly sounds like you're listening to real locusts and hell itself just gnawing away. So what did it take to create that sound?
Well... Rob wrote the music to I Am Hell, and it was just one of those things where he just rolls on. He wrote Aesthetics of Hate the same way. He just rolled on something, and the intro is, you know, I came up with this idea about writing about a pyromaniac and about, like, reading a journal from a pyromaniac from the beginning, him discovering that he's sick and then going through the sickness and, you know, through the kills and everything too, and then he kind of put a twist on it and said, after doing some research, that, you know, these female arsonists are the worst. They're the most dangerous, let me put it that way. And because they're almost, all of their crimes are crimes of passion. You know, it's all out of love and all, you know, in that sense. And so he wrote from the female standpoint. And so I looked up a bunch of, he was doing this a cappella thing in the beginning, singing these notes, and I said, dude, what if we took, you know, Latin words that mean, you know, and I looked up, like, you know, fire warrior and, you know, Bellator Inferni and you know, hells, you know, just all these, you know, murder and suicide, and, you know, so he's singing all these,
yeah,
you know, just nasty words in Latin over the beginning. He's got a great ear, you know. He's got the vision for the band, and we lean on that. Locust was another concept that I came up with, just on past experiences with people in my life that kind of, you know, they come in and they take everything they can from you. Their intentions are not good. Ulterior motives, and once you discover what they are, they just up and fly off to the next crop and, you know, steal and take from them. So, I mean, I'm sure that you're looking at me like, yeah, you know, I know who mine is. So, everybody has them. So, it's we kind of, we loved the metaphor, and it just became kind of, not really, it's not a themed record, but it gave us some good visuals and good ideas.
So, how was it having your son and Rob Kids sing for Who We Are?
It was awesome. It was, we had demoed the song, and our engineer, Juan, had his two daughters sing on it, along with Rob's two sons, and it was awesome. And then Rob made a pretty good point of getting my son involved, too. Mm-hmm. And said, hey, I really want him to be a part of this, and he came in and was a little shy. And he knew the song, but there was other kids, and he was a little shy, and he didn't really do it, but we went home, and I set up a recorder and tried to do it with him with the headphones on. He wouldn't do it in front of me, so I just set him up with it. I said, just do it 10 times. Daddy's going to leave the room. And we got a good take from him, and we flew it in, and we had him be part of it. So it's, when I hear the intro, it kind of makes me well up a little bit and just know that I would have never in a million years would have thought that I'd be recording a song that my son is a part of, too, in some small way. So it's just, it is a really, really cool thing.
And you have his voice forever.
Yeah.
So what song from the album is the most fun for you to play live?
The most fun? You know, I love playing Be Still and Know. It was a Bible passage that my grandma passed down to me. She had a bunch of grandkids, and each grandkid had their own Bible verse that they got in their cards, birthday cards, Christmas cards, and mine was Psalm 46, Be Still and Know That I'm the Lord. I have a tattoo on my arm here.
Nice.
Before I joined the band. And it's kind of my mantra, and not such a religious way, but more in a spiritual way of just, you know, relax, everything will be okay, keep your head, keep your wits. And she would always tell me, you know, this shall pass, Be Still and Know. And Rob incorporated it into the song, and I look out and see people singing it every night, hundreds of people singing it every night, and it's just, she passed away about 10 years ago, you know, and she would just be extremely proud, and she is proud that, you know, it's just getting passed on, so.
How long were you in the chair for the tattoo?
Oh, tattoo wasn't that long. I probably, you know, hour and a half or so. So it's, I mean, it's just part of the chain.
Oh, yeah.
There it is right there.
Nice. So out of the entire Machine Head catalog, what song is your favorite to play live, old or new, if you can pick one?
Oh, man. You know, Halo gets the best response these days. It's a fun song to play. It's 10 minutes long. It's got ups and downs and in-betweens and sing-alongs, and I love playing that song.
Definitely one of my favorites, too. So I read you're also playing Download this year in Donington with Metallica, Black Sabbath, and Tenacious D. How is it knowing you're playing with them?
It's awesome. We're not playing on, I don't think, the same day as any of those bands, but it's cool to be, like, mentioned in the same breath as, you know, that. We're playing on the Friday, which is Prodigy and Chasing Status, which is, you know, I don't know if they're dubstep, but they're kind of definitely a house, you know, there's a techno element to them for sure. Prodigy are awesome. And we've done shows with Sabbath and with Metallica before. And in this festival circuit that we're doing, Tenacious D are on some of the shows. It would just be a huge thrill to, on like one of the same days, to be able to catch them or play with them, you know. So it's an honor to play Donington. We love it. The UK is our biggest market. And so, yeah, it's an honor to be there.
What are your thoughts on Tony Iommi and the sad announcement of his illness?
It sucks, you know. Tony is, geez, you look at, you know, 40 years that, 45, maybe 50 years that he's been playing or whatever, and he's just, he started this all. He started metal and toured with Heaven and Hell, and I saw him at the Metal Hammer Awards. I did a little salute. We won an award to Dio, and he came up to me, and like, I took a picture with him and Christopher Plummer.
Oh, wow.
No, Christopher Lee.
Okay.
Christopher Lee, and it's like, and Tony's all, hey, you know, thank you for saying that about Ronnie, and it's like, sure, Tony Iommi, you know, and the nicest guy, you know, just really down to earth and just really, it's sad. I mean, my mom just went through cancer surgery yesterday, so you don't wish it on anybody, and you just wish, you know, the advances in technologies and everything's become more routine, but, you know, just pray that he, you know, gets through it all right. I'm not done listening to material from Tony, so come on, bud, we need you.
I know Randy Rhoads and Eddie Van Halen are huge influences of yours, so what do they mean to you?
Randy, not so much as Eddie. I was, Randy was the reason that made me want to be in a band and perform. He was the first guy that I saw that really emoted through his playing, and I really got and I looked at him and felt what he was playing. He wrote these solos that were songs within songs. They're compositions within the compositions, you know, and taken way too early, such a tragedy, and we savor every little thing that he left behind. So I just admire his playing so much. And you know, there's not a guitar player around that just wouldn't go, yeah, you know, original dude, whether they like him or not. So Eddie Van Halen was, him and Randy came around at the same time, and I think my girlfriend in high school liked Eddie Van Halen, though I was just like, what about Randy, you know. So, you know, I've got a huge appreciation for Eddie Van Halen as well.
Do you think your joining Machine Head in 2003 changed its sound at all?
I think that they had made a cognizant effort. That record, Through the Ashes, was about 75% written already. I think that they had made this cognizant effort to already go in this, you know, screw the label, screw radio, write for ourselves. If we like it, then it's, you know, what we want to do, direction. I think that I opened some avenues for them that they didn't have before. And I think that, you know, I instilled, maybe not confidence, but like new life and this new energy. You know, they were on a downward swing, and I was coming in like, this is awesome, let's go, let's kill it, you know, we're going on tour, we're doing this, we're doing a record, you know. So I think that we needed each other at that same point.
Do you have Ketchup Man and Rocky with you tonight? I watch them in the videos, I love them. You have to have Ketchup Man here at least.
Of course I have Ketchup. I have the Ketchup, I got the Ketchup Man, you know, this is Valanna Hines, this is my, I mean,
yeah.
I gotta get a sponsorship on them, you know,
you should.
It's like,
the plant's still up and running.
Yes.
It is.
Is it? Excellent. I do, I have Ketchup Man and Rocky, they're ready to go, cool. Play Philly on Thursday, and, you know, Pittsburgh, I'm a Philly Flyer and Sixer fan, I'm also an Oakland Raider fan, so, but I have respect for the Steelers, you know, anybody but the 49ers and the Cowboys, cool. And the Patriots.
So you're happy to see them lose?
I was happy to see them lose, yes, and I don't want the Patriots to win either, so.
So what can we expect at the show tonight?
We've got some lights, we've got some production that we're bringing out, we've got some video, got some PowerPoint presentations going on, and but we got some video and some lights that we're going out, and we're playing almost 2 hours of, you know, a headlining set in America that we haven't done in since 2004, I believe. So, yeah, we're bringing it.
Excellent. So, what does the future look like for Machine Head?
The future. We're in the beginning of this touring cycle, so we're going to maybe do another second leg in the States. We're going to go down to Soundwave Festival in Australia, and with a ton of bands, you know, it's going to be awesome. And then we're going to do European festivals, and that'll take us through August, and then I don't know what we're going to do. That'll be the world, and hopefully, you know, band will want to take us out.
Anything else you'd like to add for the fans?
I love the Pittsburgh area. You know, like I said, I have family roots here, so it's kind of nostalgic for me to come back through here. We've always had good shows here, and we appreciate everybody that comes out to the shows and gets the records, man. So Machine Head is about its fans, and we're only strong as our fans are, so we appreciate everything that they've done.
Thank you very much, and have a great show.
Thank you.